Hello, and welcome to another Nine Circles Buke interview, or Nine Circles interview, I should say. This time I'm here with the metal band Pile of Priests. And I'm going to quickly mention, before I get into introducing the members, that this is a band of mine, for full disclosure, who I interviewed years ago for an old podcast of mine. And I consider these guys friends of mine, but more so, I wanted to have them on again because I truly believe in the music that they do, and I want to do all I can to help them. Again, this is Pile of Priests. Denver, Colorado, and I'm joined by Evan, the drummer, Evan, the lead singer, Patrick, the bass player, and new member Daryl on guitars. Gentlemen, in this pandemic world, how is everybody doing on this Sunday afternoon?
Good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Or life's good. Pretty much the same for me. So.
Me too.
Yeah. Life, Pat has been sending me pictures of doing work. Evan, you just said it's pretty much the same for you. Is it work as usual for you?
Yep, still got the same job. I mean, we furloughed a bunch of people, but I still kept my job, so that's a good thing.
Sweet.
Good
thing.
Hey, Evan, yourself, are you locked away?
I've been working, but I haven't been working as much. I work for the public school district here. So since schools are all canceled, my job is, I don't do as much work, but it's great that the government budgets everything out for the schools. And I don't think they've really laid off or furloughed a lot of people. So I'm still getting my same salary, but I probably work maybe 2 days a week for probably a total of 5 hours a week. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, nice. That's ideal.
Yeah. So what is it that scene from Office Space? You're like, so what really do you do here? Or something like that.
Pretty much. If they made us go in for a full day, I would be like hiding in different parts of the warehouse, finding a nice place to nap.
Yeah, I was talking to some of my former coworkers too, and they're going blind from like looking at their cell phones the whole shift. And Daryl, how about yourself? How are you surviving these times?
Yeah, so I work for FedEx.
Oh,
thankfully.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I'm same day city, so I do like courier type stuff.
Okay.
We're not as busy, so I've been bringing my guitar and like practicing for hours in my van because it's slow. But so, I still have a job.
So Daryl, I have to ask, do you, because this is a question a lot of people would ask, do you understand the definitions of fragile, breakable,
corrosive?
Yes.
I think it's only the ground and express guys who don't understand what that means. Yeah.
Okay. But now that the gym doesn't matter. Now that the gyms are closed and we're getting a little stale, Daryl's been just hoisting, packages. Oh, this is heavy. Let me hoist this.
I have ordered some vinyl records over the years, and they have arrived, and I have to wonder, was this a truck full of Wolverines that got a hold of this thing before it made it to my doorstep? Okay.
Right.
Enough with our personal lives, and I am homeschooling a kindergartner right now, which...
Oh, good luck.
I am somebody who failed out of college from drinking and partying too much. Pile of Priests, my friends. We are here talking about you guys and your new album that is about to drop.
Boom.
Your self-titled full-length album.
Yeah.
I am so excited for.
That's the one.
That's the one right there. If you guys obviously can't see it, but Evan's holding up his shirt. Gorgeous album cover. Gentlemen, please, somebody take it. How did we end up, first and foremost, Daryl's joining us here. How did we end up with Daryl joining you guys and bringing us to the point where we are today?
So, I mean, it's been kind of rough staying as active as we'd like to, and mainly because Patrick is, you know, all around the country, you know, servicing wind turbines and stuff. But at the same time, since we've been around for a decade, for the past 3 years, ever since basically after our 2016 tour, I've just become so sick of like playing like tiny little podunk bar shows for 10 people. When, you know, I know we can pull a better crowd than that, especially since we're not going to play a show without Patrick. People are like, oh, it's just a bass player. Why don't you find a fill-in? But it's not the same. If you've ever watched him play bass, everybody doesn't realize that we hired an octopus to play bass for us. So
I love that. Yeah. It's a rare style.
Yeah, we can't just like up and, you know, do a – well, fuck, it would have just been me and Evan for a while before Daryl. Yeah. And we've considered it like if Patrick wasn't able to fly out for a certain show, because we've been trying to get on just bigger name shows that come around town. And since we know some of the promoters now, we've been able to play bigger shows. And we've gotten some credibility in the scene too now. So we don't really play those tiny little bars anymore. And it's not like Patrick's going to fly out for any of those gigs anyway that are going to pay us $50. Yeah.
You know, we should say though that people are like, oh, Patrick flying out, stuff like that. Patrick works a job that has him traveling around the country. So
yeah, 10 months out of the year. So I'm basically a well-paid homeless person.
Nice way of putting it.
I have to say that Evan, you just touched on it about your bass player. Your guy's first single, and there's a video up on YouTube now. Divination.
Exile unto
divination. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Starts with Patrick's killer bass line shines right through. So it's nice that you guys are finally giving a bass player some front stage time here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Daryl, how did you get hooked up with these guys?
Yeah, I've known most of them a while. You know, we all hang out in the same circles. They made a post on Facebook, and I knew them, and, you know, saying they were looking for another guitarist. And I thought, why not? You know, I guess I kind of tried out. I learned one of the songs, you know, sent them in the recording, and that's how it started. Pretty organic, I would say.
Yes. He's in a progressive metal band called Of Man and Machine. Yeah. And he was expressing the interest to get into something a little bit more extreme, like straight up death metal, you know, even though I wouldn't consider a straight up death metal, but you know what I mean? A little bit more anger.
Not prog.
Yeah, not so proggy.
Yeah.
And another thing with Daryl joining, Evan is just writing too complicated of things for himself. And he needs another dad to help him out.
Exactly. Like, one guitar wasn't going to cut it. So me singing and playing guitar and then layering all these guitar parts, I couldn't do it anymore. And I wanted to properly execute the new material on stage, so we needed another guitar player.
It sounds amazing with Daryl.
I found you guys back in 2015 when Void 2 in Enlightenment came out. Long time. That's how long I've known you guys and been supporting you guys. As a fan of you guys, of course, I never got to see you live yet, but just listening to every EP and to the albums, the thing that shines through the most is the growth and the fullness of the sound that's shined through. Like, I have always loved Evan, your drum work. I love.
Appreciate it.
Evan, your vocals, I love. Pat, we just talked about it. Pat's bass has gotten better. It's been so enjoyable to sit back and see you guys' own individual talents improve more and more and more. So is that a true statement? Do you guys feel as a band now with your second full-length release that you guys are more of a mature band now, as a, I guess, better band?
Oh, yeah.
I'd agree.
Big time.
Definitely more honed.
Ever since we started out as a death thrash band, and that was, you know, it was definitely what we were going for, and our drummer was a huge thrash guy, so his drumming itself made it more thrash metal oriented. But I always kind of, especially when Evan joined, I wanted to bring in these progressive elements and just, you know, keep expanding with each album. I didn't want to be, as much as I love Cannibal Corpse, I didn't want to put out a very similar record every time. You know, once you find a niche and like they fucking own it. If they put out something that was wildly different, people would hate it.
Yep.
But like Death and Chuck Schuldiner, every album was different. And he's a big influence for me, probably one of the biggest. And then also Dan Suano, and I kind of went along with like him changing things up for every album in different project settings. And I think we finally reached the progressive death metal elements with this album.
You know, and melodic too, melodic death.
Yeah, right. You just mentioned it, Evan. You mentioned Dan Suano, and me. Yeah, I find a way to work it into every stupid podcast I do. I have my Opeth poster here, and I always mention my love of Opeth, and I say that because my favorite death metal album of all time is Resurrection Through Carnage by Bloodbath.
Hell yeah.
Sweet album.
Which features Dan Suano on it. So when I was talking to you guys, and I heard that you guys got Dan on this album, Dan Suano, tell me how that came about.
Please. Dude, he's such a cool dude. Such a cool guy.
Yeah. I just mentioned his Witherscape project on the last Nine Circles podcast episode.
Nice.
I absolutely love him, from his Edge of Sanity work to every fucking thing the guy touches is gold.
Very true.
He's absolutely brilliant. And it was actually simple. We just go on his website, which is unisound.com. He keeps it up to date. He shows projects that he's currently working on, projects that he's done in the past. He has his email listed there, and he pretty much responds within 12 hours for any email. We never really had a delay. The communication was absolutely fantastic.
You know, there's kind of these, you know, somebody who, the only instruments I've ever played are Guitar Hero instruments. there are a couple people in the industry who, you know, recording techs or engineers, like Arthur Rizik or Dan Suano, like when they put their touch on something, you know whose work it is. And I think that's almost what helps add to your guys' new self-titled release, that Dan's touch and the clarity that in the professional sound that he adds to it really helps your guys' music shine through here.
Yeah, it's intense. Yeah.
You know, there's a trend in metal right now that it's extremely popular, and I'm not knocking these bands, but you look at like the Tomb Mold.
I know where this is going.
Artificial Brain, or you know, you are Cerebral Rot. Like you look at like a lot of these bands that are bringing back this, they say old school death metal, but it's old school death metal where the whole thing looks like you're singing, and all the instrument tones and the vocal are all coming through a cheap Hello Kitty speaker that's 10 feet underwater.
Yeah. Or it's like more sound, like more sound era.
Yeah. I know that was a stretch of a description. And my girlfriend right next to me is like shaking her head, like, why am I dating this weirdo who can't even speak English language? But these are amazing bands that have great talent all around, but the recording quality, and I know that's almost what they're going for, but it's like that early black metal.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah,
it's true like, black metal.
Yeah, true black metal, which I love. Yes.
So the thing is with these bands is they're all trying to recreate this, like, you know, this 1991 death metal sound, and that's cool, but I for me it's like, okay, I can go back and listen to any 1990 91 92 death metal album, and I'm basically getting what any of these bands are doing now. Everyone's like, oh my god, and like, what's, I don't get the appeal. It doesn't do it for me. And I'm going to say that without talking shit.
Okay, but no, but guys, no band names mentioned.
Yeah, exactly.
But Evan or Daryl, let me ask you guys, or any of you guys, does having a engineer who is I guess putting a mix out that is so crystal clear and so flawless, that does it almost kind of not give you guys the sense to almost maybe hide any mess ups or errors you guys might make, because he is so a perfectionist with what he does? And this is, again, somebody who doesn't play anything, I guess. It's like, maybe if the recording quality wasn't as good as it is, or it's not as mastered as so well, it can maybe be kind of hidden in the poor quality of the product that's going to be put out at the end.
Well, the thing is with all this is that when, you know, like, I don't think that we've really had the perfect mix until this album. There was always something missing with all of our discs that it just wasn't quite there, and we finally have the production we deserve. But Evan actually meticulously went through all the tracks before sending it to Dan. So he cleaned up all sorts of, you know, everything, all the instruments before it went to Dan. But then Dan, you know, finalized that. So that took a long time, because it's a tedious process, like cutting out all the white noise, and I can't imagine, you know, how insane he went during that time.
Well, and it's like, because like editing, you know, you have to make sure that when you're editing that you don't make it sound computerized. You still want to capture the performance that was there. So it's like a balance of what was, you know, naturally played and edited at the same time. So it is pretty tough.
Yeah, and having everything mixed in, like, we did vocals and drums through Nick Noder, for a friend of ours.
Rusty Sun.
And then we did guitars and bass through our drummer, Evan Knight, at his house. And, I mean, for bass, I wrote, like, 80% of what's on the CD, like, in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a skeleton of an idea of what I wanted everything to do, but then went through and was talking to the guys, and be like, wait a minute, no, now that I hear it recorded, I want to change that and go back. But yeah, I mean, with all that, I mean, it all kind of ties in, too, with exactly how we progressed as a band.
Yeah.
Like, back with Void Enlightenment, we got to experiment, we got to do a lot of different things we wanted to do, but, you know, we couldn't really quite get the sound that we were going for, and then with the last EP that we did, Tenebrous Labyrinth, we went through our good friend Eddie Kim. Love that guy.
Papa Kimmy.
Papa.
Sorry.
We love working with him. He was great to work with. But like something that about like maybe it was the way that we did everything or something, but it just like, it still felt like something was just kind of missing. And then now that we've added Daryl to the band for live and stuff and everything, now he's with the band, our live performance sounds like amazingly much more full and better. And now that we have Dan Suano, who did all the stuff on the mixing mastering side, it just made everything way better. Yeah, and we finally found, like, I think what we were missing.
Daryl, interesting that you mentioned that. You know, these guys, like, Pat, how long have you guys, the three of you guys, been the band?
Since 2011, right?
Okay.
The end of 11, beginning of 2012 is when it happened.
Okay, now, since 2012, Daryl, how did you feel coming in? Did you kind of feel like you're the Jason Newsted of the band?
They don't fuck with me like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. If we fuck with him like that, he'll beat us up.
Definitely. No, he'll hoist us.
It was nice because I knew most of them. You know, we would hang out and we had, of course, similar interests and musical interests. So it was natural. You know, it wasn't you got to prove yourself and kind of a weird transition, man. It felt natural.
Okay, yeah, do you feel like with the album that you could come to them with anything and say, hey, maybe we should do this or do this? Or
actually, I didn't record anything on this album. Okay. They were working on it for a while. But all the songs that I learned were pretty much from that album. Like our first show was mostly all those songs. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited moving forward, you know, maybe have some riff ideas. That'd be cool.
Yeah. You know,
that's pushing it. That calm down.
Yeah. Pump the brakes there.
We'll get there.
Okay.
No, absolutely. So when Daryl came about into the band, we had already finished the record. I think we were already well into recording, like at least the majority of it was almost done.
Yeah.
The beginning of 2019 is when Evan started really like doing his portion of the engineering. So by the time Daryl joined, everything was written, recorded. So basically, we had the material to give him for him to learn, but it was too late for him to have his input in the album.
Okay. So basically, what Patrick just said before that, as easy as your transition was to come into the group, if you speak up again, Daryl, you're out.
Noted.
Get the hose.
It's going to be awkward because Evan and I live together, you know.
It will.
Daryl's going to kick my ass when I come home.
You deserve it.
So, I'm coming so guys, yeah, we're talking about this self-titled album here. Is there, is there a track that you feel, I guess, or a track or two? Because I have my favorites. Is there a track or two that you guys feel really shows where the band is now, like you're most proud of now,
like as a band, or
as a band? Because my personal favorite, when Pat said, hey, you're gonna love Death of the Paragon, the first time I listened to it, I put it on repeat. I love it.
And in the city square, strung her up at the stake. I forced my way through the crowd, as I did not believe it. But there stood the king, torch high in hand, uttering innocuous delusions, masking his violent tirade. Now witness the embodiment of heresy set ablaze, he said, and condemned to death all those loyal.
And then I listened to, and I'm going to butcher this in my mush mouth, Deus De Lunde, whatever it is.
It's okay. It's Latin. It's Deus Delenda Est, which means God must be destroyed.
I feel like I'm a knight in For Honor there at the middle of it. part of it, oh, man, I love that. I love that track. So, gentlemen, what's your guys' favorite, I guess, that shows off the band?
I don't know if any of us can collectively make that decision of which one is our favorite together. I don't know.
The singles, kind of.
Yeah. I guess we'll each just express our opinion on what our best track is. Obviously, we released Exile Into Divination first, and I think that track, besides the intro, that's song three, and you know, the way albums usually go, track two and track three are usually like the radio tracks, so to speak, with most bands. I didn't necessarily write it that way, but after it all came together, it was like, this really showcases a little bit of everything with the band. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite track on the album. My favorite track is The Restitution, which is the last.
Same. Yep.
So Evan will agree. I think that one's just like, it throws a different equation for the band that people are going to be surprised. They're going to hate it or they're going to love it. So you've been warned.
It's the epic on the track for sure.
Yeah. It's probably my favorite.
I won't say that, but anyway, I've said too much.
Gentlemen, is this, correct me if I'm wrong, is this your guys also, we haven't mentioned it, this album releases on May 5th.
22nd.
May 22nd. Okay, then the online site I'm looking at has it wrong.
What are you on? Are you on Archives?
Encyclopedia Metallum.
I'll have to report that.
Yeah, it has a release date.
I don't know why that's on there.
Yeah,
that's
has a release date of May 5th, so I'm like, sorry.
I don't think we've ever even discussed that as an even date, like ever in anything. So I don't know where anyone would have gotten that from.
That's weird.
It was modified by Evan Salador on April 24th.
You sir, are fake news.
I'm an admin on there, so I added...
fake news! Get him off!
I went on there and I added our guest musician. Somebody put the album in there and the tracks and everything else. I just went in there and added our guest musicians. But I noticed that, and so I guess we'll... Yeah, because that's in 2 days, and yeah, that's not accurate. Hold on, before we get farther, I want to know what Pat and Daryl's favorite track is.
Yes. Daryl, you can go for it.
Oh, I can go first? Oh, thanks. Okay, so Restitution probably, but like live, Bloodstained Citadel is so fucking fun to play.
Yeah, it is. You know what, dude? Like, Matt, I know you and I have been texting quite a bit, especially as of late, and I still, like, it changes for me all the time. Like, I mean, I'm sure all the guys can agree with this. We love the album in all sorts of different ways. I mean, to say one track that kind of, like, fits where the band's at and stuff...
He's gonna try and find a track that doesn't make him sound that good as a bass player.
No, I mean, I would probably choose Deus de Lenda Est or Conjunction of Souls.
Yeah, Conjunction's good.
But I mean, yeah, dude, like, there's so many different parts of the album that we, as a band, shine differently and like take parts from like maybe a little bit of our past and then also our different influences that we have. So, I don't know. I just love the whole thing.
Guys, I have to ask this since, you know, I've talked to so many artists over the years. I've interviewed, you know, Brian Slagle of Metal Blade, you know, like the guy who found Metallica and signed them. And I've interviewed him. I've interviewed, you know, Randy Blythe, the Lamb of God. I've interviewed the biggest name artists to the people don't even know who they are in the world. Do you guys, is there a point where, because I love this album and I love the sound moving forward, but were there times, because where I'm going with all this is, you ask a lot of bands, first off, you're not going to get rich on metal. We all know that. So you do it for a love of the music.
Yep.
And I'm glad that you guys have landed at this point now after, what, eight years as a band. Has this almost kind of reignited a fire? Even I'm not saying it was even dying, but has this brought back like an excitement to the group that, my God, look where we're, look what we just put out now after 8 or 9 years of fucking doing this?
Yeah. Especially with the promotion we're working with. They're helping a big time. So
Yeah. We're working with an independent label and they're it's extreme metal, and they're a subsidiary of Rockshots out of Europe. They've been really great to help us, and like the distribution and PR that they're offering is great. The team, they're based in Italy, and even through the whole like coronavirus stuff that was going on with Italy, they were still working hard to make sure that everything was going to get out there and everything was going to work. So. Props to those guys. Valerio, Alessio, you guys are awesome.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah. I mean, for me at least, I would say I've been really excited, especially as of late. This whole COVID-19 bullshit has been really put a damper on it because I'm, damn it, I want to play a show so badly.
Yeah. It should be noted. You guys were going to be playing with Insomnium on when they came around, right?
Yeah, it would have been our second show with Insomnium and Omnium Gatherum, which is another one of my favorite bands, and then Seven Spires. So the way that show would have came together is almost way too perfect. So Adrienne Cowan is the gal who sings on the album. She's on Conjunction of Souls, and she's on The Restitution. We had messaged her and we talked about possibly having her come up on stage to sing a song with us because we were opening for Seven Spires, the band that she sings in. So it would have almost just worked out way too perfectly. But of course, you know, that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. You just mentioned it, Pat, about the virus and crazy times. You know, obviously it's dominating global headlines and it will for the foreseeable future. But where I kind of want to go with this is a lighter note. We've all heard about these crazy cruise ships, how, you know, some of them were kept out at sea, and I think some are maybe one off of California still hasn't been able to unload passengers yet off of CDC guidelines. Craziness. Mm-hmm. Where I'm going with all this is a couple of you guys have attended the annual 70 tons of metal.
70,000 tons.
70,000.
Yes. Only 70.
Oh, correct.
70 tons.
70 tons. It's a small little ton.
It's a yacht.
Yeah, before you even ask it, yes, I still plan on going.
Yeah. Virus be damned.
if they hosted, yeah.
I have to ask you guys, because I know I've talked about with you guys about them, but for the listeners now, for anybody who's maybe thought of it, because I have some of our crew here who've gone to, and they swear by like the Fire in the Mountain Festival out in Jackson Hole. I've done Maryland Death Fest a couple of times, which I'm surprised you guys have not played yet.
Yeah.
I would be there tomorrow if you guys were.
Ah.
I would be there in like a DuPont Tyvek suit to look like I'm dealing with the Ebola virus, but I would be there. So for people maybe thinking about 70,000 or whatever it is, how is the experience of doing that show, guys, in that event?
So amazing.
I know some of us have the scars. I know we have the scars to prove it.
Yeah.
Certainly.
I literally do.
it's a wild ride. I mean, they call the people who have been on the boat and have done the cruise survivors, because there are shows going all day long, and there's always two bands playing at the same time. So any given day, there's two bands playing, and on a full day at sea, bands start at 10:30 in the morning and go until 5:30 at night. So for that amount of time, there are two bands playing all day long.
Yeah, and when he says 5:30 at night, he means 5:30 a.m. Like, it's going a long time.
Until the sun comes back up.
Yes.
Do you have to, you know, I don't know how cruise ships work. I've never been on them. Are you allowed to bring alcohol aboard, or do you have to find intricate, or is it like us and our child, like we're all around the same age? Is it us in like our JNCO Jean days having to smuggle like bottles taped to our legs?
No, so, you're not allowed to bring alcohol on, and we definitely don't fill up fake shampoo bottles with liquor.
Yeah, bring on water. Never done that.
Never done that.
We do not go on Amazon and buy FDA approved liquid bottles that say shampoo, or conditioner, or none of that. We would never do that.
Big no no.
Yeah, and we definitely don't fill up tequila, whiskey, rum, I think all these other things, you know.
Yeah, right.
No, we are good.
Don't do that.
Yeah, we support capitalism, okay?
So anyways, yeah, I mean, the cruise is incredible. It's expensive, like the flights, Miami, the cruise itself, drinks on the boat. But it's all worth it if you want to have that type of metal on the high seas experience. It's just crazy.
Yeah, we have all been to metal shows. And Daryl, I'll bring you in here on this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Aside from most metal bands, metal fans are a, correct me if I'm wrong, they're a healthy bunch.
Are they? Is that a question?
Would you agree with that statement? Sure. So I guess where I'm going with this is a lot of this cruise, are there like a lot of like attractive ladies and men on this ship, or is it like I'm picturing where I would have been a couple years ago. Is it a bunch of fat drunk kids in the pool with their metal shirts still on?
All of the above.
All of the above.
Yeah, you get a little bit of everything, but there are definitely beautiful women handsome men on board. Yeah.
Dude, there's this one girl this year, like, literally came up to me and told me, is like, I love bald men with beards. And I'm like, I didn't even do anything. What? This is awesome. I never get treated like this at home.
Yeah, then she put her foot in his mouth and...
Yeah. Oh.
And then the rest is just history. And then he there's a child out there somewhere.
Oh yeah, God, I really hope not.
So have they said next year? Is it on?
They haven't said anything that I know of.
I think they're making it seem like it's going to happen, but the way things are looking, it's like all these big festivals are being canceled, and everyone's like, we can't have another big festival until there is a vaccine. In which case, I don't think there's going to be any cruises whatsoever, metal festival cruises or at all.
Yeah. It's weird. I have Rammstein tickets in August. And yeah. Oh, I'm not a fan of them, but like I've seen their live I have seen like videos of their live shows, and I'm like, dude, I have to witness that.
Dude, they're amazing. The live shows are phenomenal.
Are they?
Yeah. Probably the best show I've ever seen. Still,
dude, Evan and I, we went to go see him. What was that? 2012?
That was 2011.
2011. Dude, such an amazing show.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Have you guys seen GWAR? Because I have seen GWAR like four or five times now, and GWAR is the greatest thing I've ever seen live.
So, like, imagine GWAR, but BDSM instead.
Oh, yes.
And lots of fire.
Yeah. Dude, there's this part of the show where, like, one of the last albums...
So it's like the greatest monster truck show live ever.
One of their last albums, Liebe ist für alle da, they have a song on there called Pussy. The main lyric is like you have a pussy, I have a dicka, so what's the problem? Let's do it quick. Well, like they play the last song of the show, and there's like a cannon on the side of the stage they haven't used at all. And he gets on the cannon and he's like, I have a dicka, and it's a cannon that moves from the left side to the right side of the stage, shooting foam out into the crowd, just white foam.
Yes.
But it's painted like GWAR.
Yeah.
Oh, kind of like GWAR.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple of barbecues. Sadly, I didn't get to see GWAR before Dave died. GWAR was always one of those bands that here in Maryland, GWAR, you know, being from Richmond, Virginia, GWAR would always come around, you know, like four or five times a year. It's like, yeah, I'll see him next year. I'll see him next year.
Sure.
And then Dave died. I was like, yeah, I have to go to barbecue and see they burn the odorous thing. And I went and... I remember I had my like $400 camera, and I have never been happier of a piece of property of mine getting ruined. That when they like plunged a sword inside some monster's ass or something like that, and you know, pink liquid hits me in the face. I was as happy as a fat kid in the candy store. So gentlemen, how is the live scene there? I'm assuming things are all shut down. Artists, you know, people are out of jobs. Things aren't happening. A lot of bands are doing live shows online. Like here in the area, Clutch from Pennsylvania, they just did a live YouTube show. I know Pat, you know, traveling and work and stuff like that. Have you guys thought about doing anything or talked about possibly trying to do anything for maybe your fans or people around the world who maybe want to see any of your guys' material now, or just want to escape and see live music?
Pat and I did talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah. We'd all love to do that. I've been trying to research on that lately to see like how we would be able to make it happen. And, I've been meaning to like contact some venues in Denver to see if maybe there's a place where we could use a stage to do this and then maybe film it. And then maybe instead of live streaming, because all the live streams have just been like overcrowded, like maybe instead just record it and then put it online for people to watch or something like that. I was actually literally just looking at this last night. You can see it on my phone. There's this site called Jam Kazam. And yeah, I know it's kind of hard to read a screen through a screen. They have like these audio interfaces that you'll get. And it says that as long as you have a decent internet connection, you can jam together and live stream video from different places. Now, I don't know how good it is or anything. I'd like to do it, but I don't know when we'll be able to.
Because, you know, I mentioned to, you know, if Evan and I were just chatting before I hit the record button. I think Daryl may have been here, too. Sadly, what a horrible time for, you know, I know there are 50, 60,000 people who have lost their lives. You know, people are in financial hardships. Yeah. At the end of the day, this is not taking anything away from you guys also. Please, I mean, no disrespect here. But a CD coming out in the grand scheme of things right now means nothing. Again, no disrespect to you guys.
I get it, but, totally.
But people are home. They are, you know, dying for some enjoyment or something. So if it's something you guys could work out, even if 10 people watched, if 20 people watched. So that's why, you know, like, financially, I feel for you guys that, you know, it's a bad time for the album to come out. But if with Bandcamp, and you guys said the PR company and the label, if more people, what a perfect time for people to find it who could get enjoyment out of spinning your guys' album for 45 minutes or 43 minutes of the album length.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting that it is falling under this time. No one's able to play shows. The live stream concerts, I think, are really uplifting people's spirits. Like, me and Pat and a bunch of other friends watched the Insomnium Omnium Gather one that they did in Finland, and they did it in a stage setting with lights and everything, just without the crowd. And it was fantastic. We were all, like, super elated to be watching this together, and it felt really good. Like, it was like, oh, my God, this... It was like the first concert again, you know, almost like your first experience, but totally different. Sitting at home in my pajamas with a glass of wine, watching a concert with my friends, chatting on Facebook. Like, it's just, it's different, but it had a special something of its own. And also that people are going to be home so that maybe they're paying more attention and they want to find more music that they normally would just blow off or whatever.
Yeah, I am a big video gamer. I have been finding a lot of time going back, trying to work through, you know, if you're a PC gamer, you have a Steam catalog that you play maybe 1% of the 1,000 games you own that you've bought on various Steam sales.
I can confirm that.
How are you guys, like Daryl, Evan, how are you guys passing this time when you're not with family or off work? Were you watching movies? You dove into some. I finally finished Dracula on Netflix. Sorry, not Dracula. I finally finished.
Castlevania?
Castlevania. Thank you, Pat.
Final Fantasy VII. A lot of that.
Yes.
I grew up on that shit. And I know yes. It's the same. Dude, it's so good. I've been trying to practice a lot. But in between that and work, yeah, Final Fantasy for sure.
Yep. Evan Knight, what about you, you bud?
Same here, the Final Fantasy VII remake, and I have a electric drum kit that I'm able to play on. That it's a full setup, so it's not, you know, not too hard to practice in here, and then guitar and all that kind of stuff. So no shortage of jamming with myself.
Yep. Evan, I've thought about getting into Rocksmith myself and learning guitar. I know I'm not going to be the next Buckethead here, but you know, the guitar and bass world, they have Rocksmith and stuff like that. For being a drummer, is there like a Rocksmith for drumming that you can do if you want to play?
No, it has to be there's Rock Band where you have the four pads with also the kick pad. That's pretty much the extent of what I've seen.
Okay, when you play drums and do you play other bands' material? Do you just start jamming out your own stuff? What do you do when you practice drums?
So I have a mixing board that everything is plugged into with like an AV jack that I could plug my smartphone into, and I'll just play on Spotify. But besides that, I'll just do, you know, boring, like, rudiments, just set a tempo on my app and just tap, 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 tap for 5 minutes straight.
Guys, so. Evan, you just mentioned with the tempo. It's, I got thinking as I'm seeing Pat wearing his atheist shirt. Follow me here. Follow me. I tell you guys, I'm seeing the growth in your guys' sound and stuff here. I'm not saying we get the next Allegiant or the next next tech death band here, but could we start maybe seeing dipping a little toe into more of the tech death here, a little more technical? I'm loving it.
I'm gonna butt in because I like to bridge the border of like melodic and tech and progressive. Like you can't really. I call it progressive because it's a little bit of everything. Like, it has technical elements, it has melodic elements, it has elements of straight up old school death metal. But it's not one or the other. It's not a straight up tech metal band because I don't want to be that.
Okay. So basically, what you're saying is, Buke, you will never see me on stage with a headless guitar ever.
No.
Straight.
No, not
me.
Hey now,
Daryl has one.
Daryl has one.
Oh, I'm not saying Daryl. Anything bad about it. I just wouldn't buy one. It's not my thing. I'm not going to shun him for whipping it out on stage.
They're so balanced. I'm going to whip it out on stage.
Okay, all right. I walked into that one.
Sorry.
So Evan's in like six bands and he loves Meshuggah and he's like a master of like different time signatures and stuff. I'm a little too retarded to figure out a lot of that. It's like I had to play it and like I can't count in my head while I'm playing. So it's really hard for me to kind of add in those different time signatures. And if I do, Evan's like, oh, this is cool. This is at this. And I'm like, oh, really? I would have had no idea.
And also, like, let's add to this that Evan Knight basically is a band.
Oh, like,
dude, this is anything gross. This guy picks up, like,
he's a savant.
He can just play it.
I have said this to in many a group chats with my friends and stuff like that. To people who have never heard Evan Knight's drumming, the term hidden gem is not used lightly. He is fucking amazing here. Amazing. So this is not, you know, we're not just all crowding around him here, to, you know, raising him up, but amazing work.
Yeah,
oh, we appreciate it. It's just a shame on guitar too.
Yeah, but guys, yeah, I have to ask. This is really interesting. For example, one of my favorite guitarists is Dave Davidson of Revocation.
Revocation.
The guy is a fucking genius.
Yeah.
I interviewed him and he went to school. He majored in polyrhythm. He music for him is like talking to Stephen Hawking. And it's like me, if I was talking to Stephen Hawking and him trying to explain what the number one is to me would blow my fucking mind. Would you guys listen to like tech bands? Do you guys enjoy them, or for you guys, is that just too much noodling?
It depends.
Yeah,
it depends.
And
like Necrophagist. Like it depends that you wear.
Yeah, but I'll mention Necrophagist just because, you know, in my opinion, I still think that their 2004 record still hasn't really been topped by modern tech death people. So I don't know.
Yeah, Muhammad was a genius and then just like disappeared. And
yeah.
2004 was Epitaph, right?
It was, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It was, baby. With
I don't think you can outdo that record. And I'm going to remedy this because it almost sounded like I don't like tech death. And I do. I'm just very picky with the tech death I want to listen to. I'm not all for all of it across the board. But there are bands like Necrophagist and some of, you know, like Obscura. Some definitely catch us. And the older ones, like, I would consider Atheist, you know, tech death.
The originators, man.
But, like, you know, okay, but if you listen to, like, or you watch a video of, like, the Beyond Creation guys play, to me, as somebody who doesn't play, I sit and I watch and I'm just like, it's like, holy shit, this is fucking amazing.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
I'm just blown away because I know that I could never do that. But then when I hear like a Cannibal Corpse, I'm never, I guess, blown away by something that isn't tech death. That's just me and my stupid fan opinion. Guys, getting back to you guys here with I could go off on that tangent forever. With your self-titled album here, it comes out again, what? Because since the website was wrong, what, the 22nd?
It is the 22nd
of this month. It's available on Bandcamp. It's going to be available everywhere, right?
Physical copies, all that.
Yeah.
Pat did confirm to me, I'm sad to say, there is no vinyl release for this one.
Not as of right now, no.
Yeah. So far, it just seems to be too expensive for us to do.
It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, if someone out there, if someone listening knows, like, a fairly easy, cheaper way for us to get vinyl or something like that, let us know.
Yeah, I'm always impressed. There's a lot of bands who still do cassettes. Was that ever talked about?
Nope.
Nah, that's trendy to me.
That is trendy. Yeah. Get that trendy bullshit.
I don't have a cassette player to save my life.
Yeah, I just got Streets of Rage 4, and they released the Streets of Rage 3 soundtrack on cassette. And I do buy it. I bought a cassette player because I like your guys' favorite, you guys' fellow statesmen, chemists. I'm a huge fan of them.
They're rad dudes.
They released one of their albums on cassette that I would.
Yeah, actually, no. We're gonna put our music on an N64 cartridge, and you're gonna have to plug it in, and then you need an adapter that plugs in where the controllers go to listen to it. And then it blows up after the album finishes. So you can only listen to it once.
You can only pick it if you plug it into the fourth controller slot.
Yeah, you have to pick the right one, or you get shocked.
Yeah.
Guys, moving forward, I know it's just crazy to even say because the album isn't even out yet. Was there material left over from this that it could be moving ahead to a next album? Because, you know, as much as I love this album, are we starting to think about another one?
It's funny because, I started writing the album in September of 2017, and I finished a year later, in a little bit longer than a year, like November of 18. And since it's a concept record, I wrote every song in order, besides one of them, but the rest of them all flowed because it's a story. So I was writing the story and writing the music as I went. So I didn't have any additional material. Like, maybe I wanted to add another song in there, but I never had anything left over. After the album finished, I have a couple more ideas and one finished song, but there was nothing left over from this record. It was pretty much cut and dry because it is a concept album.
And to be honest, though, I don't think we've never really been the kind of band to be like, oh, yeah, we just didn't put this song on the CD. Like we've always gone into it, be like, these are the songs we wrote. This is what's going to be on there. End of story.
And they're good. You know, they have to be good enough. It's like, what's the point in writing the song if it's not good enough to be on the record, sort of thing?
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm. And I know for me, like, I've been working on some more ideas, and I know Evan has, and Evan Knight basically has a million ideas at the tip of his tongue at all times.
I have a library of riffs on my computer.
Yeah, and Daryl's just beautiful.
Daryl has a library of riffs, too.
No, he's great.
Oh, thanks, Patrick. I love you too.
Oh, God, this is really, man, I'm feeling great. I'm telling you, dude. When I first talked to you guys, I don't remember you guys being so loving back. This is wonderful, man. They weren't
until I joined.
Oh,
yeah. And we're just lonely now.
So guys, with this album here coming in at 43 minutes, were there, you know, you said, Evan, when you're writing it, you went from start to finish track by track. Were there tracks that had to be cut from this, or did you have this story in your head that this is it and that I'm done at nine tracks?
Eight plus the intro track. And the intro track is a beautiful piano piece written by our good friend Cody J. Tyler, who is also one of the main members of Sons of Sorath, which is Evan Knight's other band. So we get to showcase his piano bit in the beginning, and I think it's a beautiful start to the record. I didn't cut anything out. Because I always write the music and then I write the lyrics. I rarely ever write the lyrics and then write music to it. It's just easier, I guess, because I don't know. If I write lyrics and then it's too jumbled and I can't riff and play it at the same time, it makes a mess. So once I have my verse riffs, my chorus riffs, and everything else, I can start placing the lyrics into it. Makes it easier for me. What was really difficult is trying to cram in all the information into each song so that you can, like, if you looked at all the lyrics, you could figure out what was going on with the story, and there's nothing, like, left out that would be... I mean, I guess I could have left it a little more cryptic at some parts, but I think it finalized and was very well-rounded.
Is Daryl helping add in backing vocals?
Not at the time. Well, I mean, I think we would have probably started implementing that with Patrick and with Daryl for live shows.
Yeah, live.
I'm good.
That shit's hard. No thanks.
No, I mean, I'm totally down. I know in the past we've actually dabbled with that, with like backup vocals and stuff like that, live and in recording session. But we just kind of never stuck with it, and I'm not really much of a singer, but I'm working on that.
Oh.
Now, with the recording session, besides Adrian's guest vocals on those two songs, I did all the backup vocals. So if you hear like highs and stuff behind, that's all me just doing layers. Whereas Tenebrous Labyrinth, Patrick and Evan did do backup vocals on that record.
Yep.
It's probably a small thing that gets overlooked. What I love is your like little talking parts, Evan. I love that. Your voice sounds fucking haunting on those parts.
Thank you.
I love it. Sword. Yeah, it's as a guy who loves power metal for like the stories that are told in their albums, that's what's really cool about like those talking parts and the story through this.
And that's what I thought would be a big element to the record, is that you have these, like, you can kind of, like, sit there. And it's just all, like, fucking Dan Swano, Edge of Sanity worship. If you go listen to Crimson and Crimson 2, you're gonna find all the things that I kind of placed in our record in there. Like, the first track, The Aversion, there's a part right in the middle where the music stops entirely and it's just the vocals. And Dan does that at the beginning of Crimson 1, too. And I just think where it all stops and it's just this archaic, demonic voice that just cuts through the mix with nothing else behind it. Oh, and then it cuts the next riff, and it makes me want to slam my head on the desk.
And you mentioned, how did you guys go about getting, Adrian?
Adrian Cowan, yeah.
Yeah.
The way that came together was actually kind of funny. So they released their first debut album in 2017. And even before even hearing that, I had mentioned to the guys, like, I think it'd be cool to add a, this is before I even had the concept or anything for the new record, but I said, we should maybe have a female vocalist, you know, as a guest on the new record.
And that's when Evan said, hey, we already have Patrick in the group, so we already got the females covered.
You just suck helium in this.
I'm a pretty girl, okay?
And there's a lot of girls in Denver who are great vocalists, good friends of ours, and they were options too. But as soon as I heard Adrian on Seven Spires' debut Solvay, I was just thoroughly impressed, like just blown away, because she does cleans and harshes and growls and high black metal screeches, and it's all across the board. So we reached out to her, and she expressed interest in doing it. We had sent her some demo tracks, and then Seven Spires was announced on the 2018 70,000 Tons of Metal cruise. So me and Patrick got to talk to her in person about it all, and it came together beautifully.
That is, I love when a plan comes together like that. She is amazing.
Yeah.
Quickly, I have to ask, the Denver scene, is it a close-knit scene? Like, have you ever talked with the guys from Wayfarer at all, or have you talked to like the Call of the Void guys, or who I've been hooked on recently, of Feather and Bone? I mentioned the Chemist guys, Dreadnought. Do you talk to any of these groups? Are you friends with any of them, or do you see them around at bars or anything?
Yes, and yes.
Yeah. I know for me at least, the guys in Wayfarer, two of them used to be in a band called Sentimani, and I was briefly in that band with them. And we never really recorded anything. And then one of them was at the time dating one of the girls from Dreadnought. So I knew all of them too. And I don't know if incestuous is really the word for it, but like the Denver scene, a lot of the Denver metal scene's like really close knit. A lot of us party together. I hang out at a lot of the same places.
So. Yeah, we all know each other. These bands share members, you know, because they're friends and they get together. And yeah, it's a melting pot, really.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of Nightbringer, but yeah. I'm involved with a couple projects of the founding members of Nightbringer now. So there's another kind of link there.
This is, yeah, I mentioned them a couple of times. Do you guys know the Chemist guys, like Dan or any of them at all?
I don't know.
Briefly.
Yeah, I tell you, they're one of my favorite bands to come out.
I've seen them all around. Yeah, we know all the guys. We know the Cephalic Carnage guys, the Legion guys, everybody in the scene.
Okay, I have to ask really quick. You just mentioned the Legion. I've been hooked on this track. Have you heard their cover of Yes's Roundabout?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
How slick is that?
It's pretty dope. yeah, Greg's a huge Yes fan, and also Rush too. Their Subdivisions cover is just excellent. Also,
yeah, their most recent vocalist really pulls off those styles pretty awesome.
Yeah, Riley, he's super.
Yeah. Dope.
So, guys, how I have to ask, because again, like I mentioned earlier, I have to find a way to work Opeth in.
Every time you say that, I get scared.
A couple of you guys. Correct me if I'm wrong. Weren't you at the Opeth show at Red Rocks?
Oh, yeah. I was. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Please tell me, guys. I've only seen the video. How was that experience? How is catching
incredible.
A show?
Meh. No, I'm kidding.
You weren't there. Were you there?
I was there.
Okay.
Because I saw Opeth.
You were all there.
I saw Opeth at Radio City Music Hall up in New York City, and it was a religious experience. And then when I saw that they played Red Rocks, I was...
Well, and it was also Gojira and Devin Townsend project. So the whole package being at Red Rocks was... Yeah, it was great.
Because there really isn't that many metal shows at Red Rocks. They don't do that. I think there used to be more, but obviously, you know, we like to mosh around and shit. So to have those more progressive bands there, I think it worked.
Okay, well, let's bring Daryl in this. Daryl, how is it seeing Dave Matthews at Red Rocks? No, I'm just
Dave kidding. Matthews?
I'm just fucking around.
Great. Sound great. Is he still alive? Does he exist? I don't even know.
I hope not.
My girlfriend utters that phrase once a week. She's like, I hate Dave Matthews.
I absolutely agree. No, that show was
phenomenal. Was fucking amazing, though. It was good.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Is Red Rocks one of those venues? Because I think it's voted like the best music venue in the country year in and year out. Is it one of those things that you walk in and it's just...
You can go hike up there.
Yeah.
There's hiking trails all around it.
Yeah, it's something to behold. It's actually one of the greatest venues in the world is what it's been ranked as, too. Because
yeah.
There's nothing like a natural amphitheater with the rocks right
because
there.
Because I've been out there, my brother, when he was stationed in the Army at Fort Carson... I hiked around Garden of the Gods, and I was like Pat mentioned a couple minutes ago, meh, yeah. There's some rocks there, but meh.
No, Red Rocks is cool as hell. I mean, they've added things, but it used to just be a natural amphitheater where there weren't speakers or anything, and they were able to have these concerts, but it just resonates, and it does anyway. Yeah. It's hit or miss with weather, too. That night was absolutely gorgeous. Clear skies. Absolutely. And there was a blood moon right behind the stage during Gojira's set.
Yeah, when they had the sun, they had the sun on their Jumbotron. So it's like, I don't even think they planned it.
No, you can't plan that. And it was a beautiful moment that will never be recreated.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, live venues are having a hard time right now. Like there's a Kickstarter. One of the big venues in the metal world is St. Vitus up in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. Always wanted to play there.
That would be my dream for you guys.
For us, too.
Yeah, for you guys to play Vitus. And they always do an amazing job. Like, one of the fans, Frank, also always records the shows. It gets put up on YouTube. I would love to see you guys do that. Guys, I'm going to start wrapping this up here.
Cool.
Sure. Have other obligations to go do shortly. Is there anything moving forward that you guys think have that really defined the band now? I guess I mentioned, you know, the growth of the band and stuff now. What do you think is Pilot Priest moving forward? Is Dan Swano going to be part of the band now in a sense? Like, will you guys do something without him now?
I think we're going to make a pop album. You know, Grimes.
Yeah.
Grimes is sick.
Don't get us started on any
of that. Oh, yeah.
We're all guilty of loving our pop stars. Maybe not Patrick so much, but me, Daryl, and Evan are.
I was actually thinking about this a while ago. I'm the only person in the band who is not up to date with pop music right now.
I'm not. My girl last night was showing me the most viewed YouTube video, Despacito or something like that. Video has 5 billion views, and I'm looking at this for the first time, not knowing what the hell this is.
Holy crap.
Only within 2 years, too. Yeah. It's only been maybe 3 years.
5.7 billion views, Evan.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Hey, Evan, I know you, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if this is a secret. You have a love of anime, right?
Yeah.
I have
a secret.
I have to ask, are you a Baby Metal fan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I will go on record right now and say I hated Baby Metal for years. And then
I understand. I can understand why, honestly.
And then I watched a video, not Gimme Chocolate. It's one of their heavier, like, where there's like a little like growling vocal that comes in with it. And I got it. I fucking got it.
Well, and they're... The actual guys that play the music, one of their guitar players is Takeyoshi Omura, and he's played with Marty Friedman, and, you know, he's a MIT graduate, so that dude shreds. So there's a lot of technical prowess in the actual band.
Yeah, there's tons of talent behind the scenes, but apart from the other two girls.
Yep.
Okay, Evan, I mentioned my love of Castlevania. I don't like anime. I hate Dragon Ball, and I hate all that stuff. I hate how
it's a strong word.
I don't mind saying I hate how it takes 3 episodes for them to build their fucking powers up. Just get to the fucking fight already.
It does take forever.
Please,
dude. If you don't like that, go on YouTube and look at Dragon Ball Z Abridged. It's hilarious. It's really funny.
Does it take an episode to make it? Does it make it like 7 seconds or something?
It makes it really short, but they overdub some of the words, and like they start talking about how pretentious they are and stuff. It's hilarious.
Like I dabbled a toe into Dragon Ball when Dragon Ball FighterZ came out like last year or 2 years ago, and just talking to my brother when he tries and tell me all the forms of Goku, I believe it is like, hey, this is Goku's younger self, but before he went Super Saiyan and all these things. But Evan, I gotta ask, as somebody who likes Castlevania, give me an anime along those lines that'll leave me speechless. Something that's not real. Okay. See,
I haven't seen Castlevania, so
okay. I like more Western anime. Is there anything along those lines?
Cowboy Bebop. Well, maybe.
Yeah, Cowboy Bebop, and then Death Note is a cool one.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's this app that you could get called Crunchyroll.
So
if you go in there, you could pretty much go down a wormhole of stuff that's related to that sort of thing.
You could do the same thing with Steam. There's a bunch of weird Steam games that, like, you could...
So many.
Like, there's a bunch of puzzle games where...
And like visual novels.
Yeah, you could spend $9 just to look at girls' cleavages or something. Weird.
Cleavages, plural, or titties.
It's anime. Guys, I'm gonna give you guys any final say here. I'll start with Daryl. You got any final things to say, my friend? It's been a pleasure. Welcome to the band. You got any final notes to say, bud? Daryl, how about this? What are you listening to?
Oh, man, it depends on the day. I do like mixing it up, listening to, you know, some pop, like Grimes. I'm listening to the new Grimes a lot.
Oh.
Do you know what my friend suggested? You know what my friend suggested? Because I mentioned I was listening to Tom Waits the other day. They said, nice. Buke, if you're listening to Tom Waits and that sad stuff, throw on the new Fiona Apple.
Huh.
I didn't know there was a new Fiona Apple.
Yeah, which is odd to me. But they said, yeah, if I'm in like a Tom Waits sad stuff, that I would like the new Fiona Apple, which I never thought would ever be said to me. It would be like somebody, and I swore I would never listen to a Beck album. It would be as strange as somebody suggesting to me I should check out a new Beck album.
That is odd.
Okay, so go ahead with what you were saying. Grimes?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I always listen to like Meshuggah, Nevermore. You know, just try to break up the monotony. Got to go with those classics recently.
Okay. And I'm adding these to my Spotify as we talk. Evan, thank you for the Crunchyroll suggestion. Anything you're listening to music-wise or TV or show-wise? Have you guys, really quick, Evan, sorry to interrupt you. I do that. I have a habit of doing it. it's my biggest character flaw. My ADD always fires, and I got to quickly get something out. Have you guys dove into the world of Joe Exotic and Tiger King?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, we watched, or I watched it. It's silly as all hell, and actually, Daryl grew up in Oklahoma, so a bunch of his friends, like, they know about Joe Exotic. And
those are Daryl's people, huh?
No, don't say that.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I'm not wasting my time.
They do exist in Oklahoma, though, for sure.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, Evan, sorry, but Patrick, trying to describe it to somebody is really enough. It's a fucking trip. Okay, Evan, what have you been listening to, bud?
Well, I've been really deep in the black metal world, just with, you know, some of the projects I'm involved with, and there's this band called Mgła. It's MG, like some kind of Polish letter L A.
Some would say Mgła.
Yeah, Mgła.
Yes. But yes.
I've been really into them. I've been really into Toke. They're a Norwegian band. And then, but besides black metal, you know, I still listen to old Metallica, old Megadeth, all that kind of stuff. So,
Patrick, when you're out there working, just you and a nice breeze, do you listen to anything, or are you just enjoying the quietness?
You know, when I'm at work, my coworkers will put on music because I know they would hate all of my music selections. And I definitely let them know that I despise their music. Because I'm just very blunt like that. But, you know, when I do get a chance, when I'm up a wind turbine, I like it to be quiet. So like, I like the breeze, just listening to the wind and hear the machines just swishing by. But, you know, lately for me, man, I've actually been on a little bit of a country kick lately. A little bit.
Yeah, why don't you specify?
Yeah, specify.
So, the Steel Woods, Brent Cobb, Turnpike Troubadours. It's a little bit of, I guess, bluegrass, Americana, country. I don't know. I don't know the genre very well because I've hated country basically my entire life. Wade Reeves, Uncle Lucius.
My girlfriend listens. She listens to, and guys, we will never go there. You guys will be a power metal band before you are the metal that she listens to. She listens to the stuff where the guys scream, but they do that singing where the vocals sound very feminine, like metalcore stuff. like hands like houses, or
Asking Alexandria.
Yeah, We Came as Romans.
Is she going to kill you after this podcast?
Yeah. She's shooting daggers at you with her eyes.
Yeah, she's in nursing school right now, so she could probably do it in some very interesting ways.
Injecting this shit on that way.
Exactly. Okay, so you're listening to country stuff. Okay, I can get it.
A little bit. I mean, I'm still checking out like the New Testament album, Half, and like a few other metal bands. And dude, like, my musical tastes have been just jumping around.
Okay. Hey, Evan, really quick, it's interesting that, you know, you mentioned the black metal that you listen to. As a drummer, to me, Black metal always seems boring to play.
Well, so it sounds that way, but it's really hard with the endurance factor, because one of the main goals of, you know, some of the black metal I'm involved with is creating that wall of sound. So you have the synths, you know, more than three guitar parts and all that, and then, you know, the really high, icy vocals. So the drumming is just blast, 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 you know, for almost minutes straight. So, yeah, it's not boring to play, but it can be boring to listen to, for sure.
You have a favorite black metal drummer?
I have a couple. I mean, I don't really think he counts, but Nicholas Barker is one of them.
Yes.
And then Hellhammer, too. You know, so they're black metal drummers, but they're kind of on another level to me. So, but they're definitely big influences for me.
And Evan, your friend, my friend, what are you listening to now, bud?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all over the place. You know, for as much as we're huge music lovers, so for most people who turn on the radio and they can hear the same 10 songs and they're fine with that, we are so far away from that, it's not even funny. So for us to be, you know, like, we all had our thing that got us into this, you know, and you have to break the mold. Like, probably that's why there's this different progression of our music. Otherwise, it would probably sound all the same. But we're listening to different things, adding different elements. And I can't be listening to death metal all day long. I have to branch out and stuff. And I am fucking, I'm a firm believer that Billie Eilish is fantastic and all the hype is real and it is well deserved. I think she's absolutely fantastic. I'm also obsessed with Grimes. I'm loving this, like, kind of weird, unique pop stuff.
See this guy right here? He's the lead singer of a metal band. He just said he listens to Billie Eilish.
Yeah. You're goddamn right I do.
And he's proud. That's the guy. Yeah, see that guy wearing the Idle Hands shirt? Yeah. Don't remember that.
And I'm also listening to Idle Hands. They blow me away as, like, good gothic rock.
Northwest, right? They're from the Northwest area.
Pacific Northwest, yeah. Kind of in the vein of, like, Typo Negative, I guess. It's very different. I'm rediscovering older things. Like, I'm going back and listening to, like, old King Diamond records and Devin Townsend's records and stuff that I kind of just neglected. Not because I didn't want to listen to it, but now that I've had all this time, like, just resurfacing some of these things I forgot about.
Evan, you mentioned Devin Townsend real quick, and I know we've been talking about how amazing Dan Swano is, but if you guys are ever bored, go on YouTube and watch Devin Townsend just work.
Oh, we certainly have.
His when you see concerts, like, the wall of sound that he makes and stuff, man.
Devin's a beautiful man. Yeah. I probably would have seen him a couple more times this year without the coronavirus, but me and Patrick
didn't
see him on board the 70,000 Tons of Metal cruise.
That was amazing. Old,
the Strapping Young Lad songs and shit. It was fucking divine.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Amazing.
They played Aftermath.
Yep.
Nice.
Almost Again. Love all those goodies.
Oh, man. Guys, I will say again in closing, you guys, I consider you guys friends. I, you know, yes, we've never met in person, but we've stayed in touch in various ways over the years, social media and texts and emails or whatever. I will always support you guys, and I wanted to do this interview to, again, get you guys out there, but I firmly believe in your guys' music. I would not have had you guys back on. This is probably, thinking about it, this is probably ever the first band I've ever interviewed twice. And I've interviewed hundreds of artists. I really have.
Yeah, thank you, Buke.
So I love you guys. You guys, if one or two people more check you guys out because of this, I hope I've done my part. I love you guys. Again, for everybody listening, this is Pile of Priests. Evan or Pat, whoever wants to take it, tell where people can check you guys out, where they can get all your guys' stuff. I know you guys have merch, so I'll give you guys the floor.
Yeah, so you can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Bandcamp. If you look up the label Extreme Metal or Rock Shots, you can find our new album for pre-order. The album will be out May 22nd. It's our self-titled album. And once it's released, it'll be on every platform that I just listed as well. And it'll also be for distribution worldwide physical through many different stores. So, yeah, many places you'll find it.
You guys, again, I absolutely love what you guys are doing. The growth, you know, you guys, you know, there's a lot of stuff on Bandcamp you click on and you listen to, and you quickly move on to the next. You guys hooked me years ago, and if I was to find you guys now, I'd be really blown away. You guys have something special here with, again, this is your self-titled release coming out later this month. I highly recommend everyone listening to this now, go check it out. If there's ever anything I recommended enough, do yourselves a favor and check this out.
Thank you. Thank
anybody you. Else have anything else?
Buke, really quick note. Let's stay in contact because I'm coming back to the East Coast.
Yes.
After this project.
Yes.
I'm either going to Vermont or North Carolina next. So
yes.
Whichever one I go to, I'll let you know and we'll try and meet up.
That would be a beautiful thing.
Also, dude, Buke, I got to say, I don't know if you're familiar with Scar Cemetery, but you look like Per Nilsson.
Oh, yeah.
You really do.
You know, when I was working a lot, people would always come to me and they go, "Oh, you know who you look like? You look like that comic, Seth Rogen." And I was like, "What?"
Yeah. You look like Kurt Nielsen, and that's definitely a compliment.
And One that I like to really pride myself on, because I know I don't have the body. Like, you're like, "Oh, you look like that wrestler, Brock Lesnar." No, definitely not. Definitely not. Nobody would want to own this body. I always say I'm so hideous. If I was a girl, I wouldn't fuck me. So, yeah. Oh, stealing a line from one of my favorite comics. When my girlfriend's done fucking me, she gets off me like she's dismounting a dirty bicycle.
Oh. So,
she really kicks her leg wide and really, you know, really gets off. Gentlemen, I love you guys. Again, your biggest fan in the world. It's been a pleasure talking to you for almost an hour and a half here.
Love you, brother.
Gentlemen, I will talk to you guys.
Take it easy. Thank you.
All right.
That's it.